Welcome, everybody, to episode 72 of the Average Jake Firefighter Podcast. I'm your host, Robbie Owens. When I got off that morning, I was already dead tired. I ended up sleeping in the bedroom until noon, at which point I got up, got in my car, and drove straight home to Richmond, where my wife and son were still living. When I got home, there was a phone call from the fire chief's office, and the very first thing I did was to make an appointment to see Chief Lewis in Richmond, so I could see about getting my old job back. With the appointment made for the next day, I went down, dressed in a suit and tie, to meet with the fire chief of Richmond. Chief Lewis was very cordial and asked me how things in D.C. were and what I didn't like about the job. I explained to him that I was really miserable being assigned to 14 Engine, and there were a lot of things about the D.C. Fire Department that were not as I pictured them to be in my mind. I admitted, the grass seems greener on the other side, and I didn't know how good I had it in Richmond. He assured me that he would take me back, but he couldn't guarantee that I would be stationed at 5 Engine. He didn't know where the vacancies were at the time, and the meeting concluded. During my stint in D.C., another recruit class had gone through, and my former position at 5 had been filled. I was happy as I left the chief's office, but still pretty apprehensive, knowing that I could be leaving a slow firehouse in D.C., only to be assigned to a slow house in Richmond. I had made the move, so I knew that regardless of what happened, I had nobody to blame but myself. That's a quick little excerpt from Capital City Firemen by Jake Rixner. If you've never heard of Jake Rixner was he's a local, kind of legendary guy here in the Metro Richmond area. Worked, obviously, in D.C. For a little bit from the P.A. area. And, he was just, I think he's back in, Prince George's County, Maryland now. I don't know if he still lives around here or not. But he wrote a book called Capital City Firemen, and it was all about his journey as a Richmond City fireman. And so it's a pretty neat book, and it means a lot to me, of course, my brother working for the city of Richmond, and growing up around Richmond my entire life. Just there's not a lot of books that highlight the fire service here in the Central Virginia area, the Richmond metro area, and all of those things. And it's just cool to see the streets and the buildings in the area that I grew up living in featured in that book. And actually, I grew up with, or my brother did actually, with Jake's daughter, Jim, and we played football together and all that kind of stuff. So it was really even cool to see him. He put the book out. Jake used to do a class, a conference in the area. He would do it at the Ashland Theater, and so been around Jake quite a bit in just personal and professional life. And mixed feelings. A lot of people have mixed feelings about Jake, but I always got along with him really well and never really had an issue with him. And the book is really, really, really good. So if you have a chance to check it out, if it's still in circulation, Capital City Fireman by Jake Rixner. But I wanted to read that passage, and I wanted to talk about the episode on this, the topic on the podcast today on this episode, because in that passage, he highlights that he had worked in Richmond. He had left Richmond for DC Fire, and now he didn't really like DC Fire, and he was trying to get his job back with the city of Richmond, Virginia. And I wanted to talk about that because it seems like now in the fire service, there's a recruitment problem, and so it's created a, for lack of a better term, a bidding war. But for experienced firefighters and fire officers, it used to be that you got hired by one fire department and you didn't leave. Like, you stayed there for 30 years and you stuck it out. You stuck it out with the good and the bad. And I don't mean that in a negative way. That's what happened. Whether it was good times or bad times, you didn't leave. Like, you were. I don't want to call it loyalty, but it just was, hey, this is where I ended up working. This is where I landed. This is the fire department I landed in. And I'm going to stay here because they gave me my opportunity and they gave me my chance. And now it really seems like there is just a ton of people hopping back and forth between different fire departments. And it's and it happened every once in a while back in the day, but man, now it seems to just be like a regular thing. And you see people recruiting for, you know, some people call it a lateral. Some people call it they're hiring experienced firefighters. I've heard several other different terms for it. It just is, and it seems like now that there's so many people that are just like, they're looking for that next fire department to jump through. And I'm not saying that's always bad. And so I wanted to kind of talk about that topic on the podcast because, like everything else, I feel like I have a perspective to offer on it, especially because I did that. I don't work for the first fire department that hired me anymore. I don't, you know, I left that job to go to the current department that I work for. And I'm going to go through some of the reasons that I did that. And I think some of the reasons that you know, you should look at it. But then also talk about what I want to talk about as well is, you know, maybe when it's time to stick it out, right? Because there are times to stick it out. There are things that maybe it doesn't seem great, but maybe you need to change your perspective a little bit. And that's kind of how I want to start it off with. I feel that perspective is everything. And what I mean by that is we have a lot of people in the department that I work for who are very young fire department. And in our area, we still have some places that have volunteers, but volunteerism has like really declined. When I was growing up, Hanover County was where I volunteered at, was all volunteer. They had a paid fire administration and a paid training staff, and they were just starting to transition into EMS. Like, they had paid EMS, but the fire department was not paid. And they hired, like, their first support, what they called them. They called them support firefighters. They weren't even, like, paid firefighters. And it was four of them that they set at this firehouse. That couldn't, basically had no daytime coverage. Like, if they got a call during the daytime, and they were just Monday through Friday, not even like 8 to 5. I think it was like 8 to 3:30 or something like that. Like, the schedule was really, really, really weird. But that was the first steps in the downward spiral of volunteerism around here. New Kent County, Charles City County, James City County, all these other ancillary places, King William, all these rural communities that were all volunteer at the time have now transitioned to at least a combination system, if not full-on paid fire departments. And so I say all that to say that, you know, perspective is everything. We're a young fire department. We don't have a lot of people that have come in from volunteering. We don't have a lot of people. We have people that didn't grow up thinking that they were going to be firefighters. We had people growing up think they were going to be, you know, in the NFL or, you know, work for a Fortune 500 company or be a lawyer or be a sports broadcaster or be in Major League Baseball, be a whole other, like, hosts of or a host and walks of life. And a lot of them had no idea that this was the career path that they were going to walk down. And that's not a bad thing. It's just reality. A lot of them didn't come from the volunteer fire service. A lot of them didn't come from the volunteer EMS service. And so what I mean is their perspective is they only have one lens to look through. The only lens they know is the current fire department that they work for. They have no other experience outside of that. They don't know what it's like to go on a call with only, you know, one person driving, or they don't know what it's like to, you know, have a firehouse meeting night where all the trucks are staffed and you're just hoping to ride the flip down. They don't know what it's like to work in a poor place, right, that can barely afford to do things and you're trying to make things work. They don't know what it's like to like, they think riding three on an engine's minimum staffed. They don't know what it's like to have a two-person shift and one drives the ambulance, one drives the fire truck to the call. Like, that's minimum staffed. You know, I told a story the other day about when I worked in one of my part-time departments that a guy who's a City of Richmond fireman and myself were working part-time in a rural community, and an extrication came out. He took the rescue. I took the ambulance. And we pulled up. We got dressed. We cut the person out of the car, left the rescue on the scene, put the lady in the back of the ambulance, and took her to the hospital. And then when we came back, thankfully, one of the volunteers had come and got the rescue and brought it back to the firehouse for us. But that's minimum staffing, right? And they don't have this perspective. They don't have any, they have no other lens outside of their current fire department. So they don't know how bad or good it is in any other things. And so when they speak about how good or bad it is a little bit skewed. And some of them, and some people around, they see the other places and they go, oh, that's better than here, or that's not as good as here. And they really don't know. They're kind of talking from an uneducated place. Fortunately for me, I've had the opportunity to work in two different career departments. I've volunteered in a all-volunteer department that started out that way and a combination department. The first department I worked for was a combination department. One of the departments I worked part-time for was a combination department. And, you know, of varying levels of service delivery, staffing, and environment. So I feel like I have a very unique perspective in the fire service that I have done a lot of things, right? I mean, like, I've never fought a 40-story high-rise fire, but I have been on a log cabin fire. I've been on a pallet factory fire. I've been on several, you know, row house fires, apartment fires, single-family dwellings, you know, all those things. I've drafted out of the James River. I've also, you know, triple-tapped several hydrants, right? Like, so I have that, you know, I've driven to a car fire by myself and put the car fire out. And packed all the hose back and went back to the firehouse. And I've ridden on an engine where the little parade flip down seat, there was barely enough room for me to slide in there so I could go to a working fire, right? So I've had that experience, which is awesome for me, and I love every bit of my fire service experience. But I have I have multiple lenses to view things from. One of the things that, you know, being going around traveling and going to FDIC and all these different conferences all over the country, you know, it's given me the perspective to meet a bunch of different people. And, you know, being into the job, I've gotten to meet a bunch of different people, and you hear the situations in their fire department, and you hear, you know, some of their wins and some of their downfalls. And that really gives you a better perspective of how good it is where you work. And I find a lot of times that people who don't have that, they tend to speak from an uneducated place, and they're always thinking, they're looking for something, or they seem like they're always looking for the next thing or the next better thing, when in reality they may be in the best place and they just don't know it because they don't have that experience. And sometimes they have to go away and come back, or sometimes they have to go away and regret it because, you know, we don't take them back. But I do think there's times when it may be the right call to leave your department. So let's talk about my story for a minute. Let's talk about my story. So I've talked about on the podcast my story coming from volunteering. I joined my volunteer fire department when I was 15. I got my firefighter 1 and 2 when I was 16. My EMT, I think I was 18. It was either 17 or 18. Either way, very young. And went off to college. Loved where I went to college. Like, still love that place. One of the biggest regrets of my life is that I didn't graduate from there. I finished my degree online through a different university, but I still love Eastern Kentucky University and all the people that I met there and everything that is involved at EKU. I still watch EKU football. It comes on ESPN+. I still watch it. You know what I mean? I love that place, but I didn't graduate from there. I really, at the time, was too immature to go to college, so I left. There was another I had a good reason to leave, but I was kind of looking for a way out, I'll be honest. I had a really good reason to leave, but it made it an easier decision, but I'll be honest, I wasn't really enjoying college. I wanted to go home. I wanted to get to work. I wanted to get in the fire service as a full-time job. So there were two fire departments hiring. At the time, I applied for both, and Stafford County Fire and Rescue called and hired me. and I started in 2002 at the ripe old age of 20. I was a couple months, probably like 3 or 4 months away from turning 21, but I was 20 years old when I got appointed to the Stafford County Fire and Rescue Department. And the Stafford County Fire Rescue Department was very, very, very small, at least the career side. Very, very large volunteer contingent. I don't even know if you could call it a combination system at that time. It was a full-on volunteer department that was supplemented by about 30 or 40 career firefighters. And we primarily it was primarily running EMS. We had our gear on the ambulances. Some of the firehouses were empty, and so you would staff an engine and an ambulance. I know the place that I spent a majority of my time was Station 10 in Potomac Hills, and that had two engines, a brush truck, an ambulance, and a ladder truck and a rescue. It was a really big firehouse, and it mimicked a lot. It was very similar to my volunteer house, which is why I liked it. because it had just everything. At my volunteer house, we had two engines, it was like a brush truck. They called it an FR, but it was basically a brush truck with a pickup truck. We had the two engines, the rescue, which we called a squad back then, and a ladder truck. So it really mimicked my volunteer department, and I liked it. So it was really good for me, and that's where I spent a majority of my time. And a lot of times, once you got cut loose to drive, which you had to have DPO, aerial operator, in order to, you know, blah, blah, blah. So I got all those as quickly as I could, and so that I could drive, so that I wouldn't be stuck on the ambulance. But once you could drive, so you would just basically put your gear, two-person shift, usually. Maybe every once in a while you'd have a third person, but it was a very, very, very rare, extremely rare that you would ever even have a third person. So two-person shift, and you would put your gear in the middle, and you would take whatever came out first 90% of the time. Like every other fire department in America, it was the ambulance. But there were some days where, we would downstaff the ambulance, take an engine. I remember one day, probably the greatest day I ever had there, I was working, and it was me and a guy named Matt Warner, who is still there. I believe he just retired, or he might be getting ready to retire. But it was me and him. And we went on a call in the ambulance, came back. We had a car fire on the interstate. I drove the engine to the car fire on the interstate with one of the volunteers in the back, put the car fire out, we come back. They dispatch an extrication in the south end of Stafford, and I get on the rescue, and we drive it halfway there. We don't get to do anything. We turn around, come back, and then they put out a fire on Garrisonville Road, and we took the tower, ladder truck over there, and I got to drive the ladder truck. So that was a fantastic day, and one of the things that I loved about it was because it was different, just about different every day, and you could be put in that situation at a moment's notice. But they really wanted everyone to be ALS. They pushed it really, really, really hard. In fact, it was a job requirement. Like they underfilled the position to hire me because I was just an EMT. And at that time, I really didn't want to be a medic. I've gone up and down with that. Then when I got to my current department, I went to medic school and I got my intermediate, which in Virginia at the time was the same thing, basically the same thing as a paramedic. It was only like you couldn't do surgical crikes, but you could do everything else. And since then, they've even reduced that a little bit. It's still considered an advanced life support provider. You can ride the ambulance, which is you in a BLS provider, and you're considered ALS, but you can't surgical crike. You can't do certain things that a paramedic can do nowadays. You can't intubate pediatrics, all that kind of stuff. But anyway, with that being said, but Stafford really wanted people to be medics. It was such a super young, it was a super small fire department, and I didn't see, and being 20 years old, I didn't see a path to growth anytime soon. To be honest, I was getting like a paycheck as a career fireman. There was a union. I was a member of the union. I didn't feel like I worked for the fire department. Like I enjoyed the people I worked with. I still talk to some of them today. I'm Facebook friends with a lot of them, still talk to some of them. When I see them but I just didn't feel like I was working for the fire department. I felt like I was working for a glorified ambulance service. And it wasn't my dream. Like, since I was a kid, and I've talked about this on the podcast before, I had idolized these Henrico firemen. One of them who lived in my neighborhood, Chris Buren. And then when I got to Mechanicsville Fire Volunteer Fire Department, all the guys that really took an interest in me were Henrico firemen. And so it wasn't my dream. It wasn't my dream to work in Stafford County. It wasn't. And so I was trying to get out. I was trying to get out. I wanted bigger. I wanted something bigger. I wanted something better. I wanted to really feel like I was a career fireman instead of just a glorified ambulance jockey. So I applied. I applied for Henrico again. I applied for the city of Richmond again. I even started I'm already driving up here. So I started applying for Fairfax County. I applied for Spotsylvania. I applied for Prince William County. I applied for all these other places. And I kept applying Virginia Beach, Charlottesville, all of these things because I just knew Stafford County wasn't where I wanted to spend my career. And when I didn't make it to the interview in Fairfax. I went to the CPAT in Prince William. I think I'd got did the physical agility in Virginia Beach and Charlottesville. I didn't get anywhere. All these things. I had started to kind of give up a little bit that I wasn't gonna get hired anywhere anytime soon, and I needed to just say hey, Stafford County is where you're gonna be. And so I signed up for paramedic school. I signed up for paramedic school and I got all my books and everything. And I remember, and it was starting to feel a little more like a fire department. They were talking about putting a 24-hour shift in. They were talking about and I knew the path to getting on that 24-hour shift was being ALS. That was the path, right? So if I wanted to try to get on a 24-hour shift eventually and feel more like a fireman, I needed to get ALS. That was the path. That was the secret. So I sign up for medic school, and I get a couple weeks. I go take the pretest, and I see the Henrico Fire is taking applications again. Well, I had done the test. I'd done the CPAT. I had done all this stuff. I had interviewed for the 46th Recruit Academy. And for some reason, I don't know, maybe it was a glitch in the system, I did not get interviewed for the 47th Recruit Academy. And then I see, and I know people who did and got hired. And so I started asking around, and so I emailed when I saw the advertisement again that they were hiring, I emailed the personnel officer, and she actually emailed me back with, "Oh, well, I'm glad that you emailed me. I'm actually supposed to be calling you to offer you an interview for the 48th Recruit School. Do you want to interview?" "Well, absolutely I do." And so I went and interviewed again, and I was still working in Stafford County. I was like, "Hey, I can't put my eggs in this basket." So I go take the pretest for the ALS class, do that, get all my books. I'm 2 weeks away from starting this paramedic class. And I'm riding, working at Potomac Hills, and we're leaving Mary Washington Hospital, coming across the Falmouth Bridge, when my phone rings, and they offer me the job to work for Henrico County. And I almost leapt out of my seat. I was super excited, and it's been a glorious almost 20 years later. Right. And there's enough talk about this on the podcast for some ups and downs like there isn't anything in life. But I'm extremely lucky to get to work there, and extremely lucky that they picked me up because I could still be working in Stafford County. Not that that would be bad either, because they have grown up huge and it is a full on real fire department at this point. Like I said, when I worked there, it was about 40 people, and they're well into the 200, 300 person range, of staff. So full on 24-hour shifts, staffing engines, ladder trucks, rescues, ambulances, everything that you would want out of a fire department, they have now. But the problem was back then, they just didn't. And at 20 years old at that time, when Henrico hired me, 22, I didn't see the forest through the trees of the potential that if I just stayed there, like, what was that? And to be honest with you, like, I wasn't even thinking that far ahead of my career. I've never thought that far ahead in my career. Like, I've never thought of an end point or a thing I had to be at. I just, you know, I just was like, I'll climb, I'll see the next mountain once I climb to the top of this one. And when I climbed to, the first mountain was, I want to be a career firefighter. Boom, I climbed that one. That was the Stafford County Mountain. And I saw that there were so many other mountains out there that I was at the smallest one. And I needed to keep climbing. And so that was when I got hired in Henrico. Like, I climbed that mountain. And then the next mountain and the next mountain. And, you know, now I'm sitting at the bottom of Battalion Chief Mountain because I haven't climbed to the top of it yet by any stretch of the imagination. And when I do... When I feel like I do, I have, then maybe I'll look at something else. And then again, maybe I won't. Maybe I'll be too tired of climbing. But I had people try and talk me out of leaving Stafford. Like, I had a guy who's still there, and he sat me down and was like, "You're screwing up. Don't leave here. Like, if you leave, like, you'll be, you know, you're on the ground floor. You're 22 years old. You're on the ground floor of this department. You could be the chief of the fire department." And even back then, that did not sound appealing. He's like, "You're 22, you know, don't leave, you know, blah, 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 you know, all this kind of stuff." I mean, and which, you know, I could do, I wasn't married yet. I was engaged, but wasn't married, you know, or anything like that. So I really, 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 really thought about it for a second. But then I was like, nope, Henrico Fire is my dream. I got to go. Got to go. Gotta go. There won't be another opportunity, and I'm so glad I did. Like I said, there's been ups and downs sometimes, and I've talked about that several times on the podcast, but there's been ups and downs, but it truly is a great place to work. I feel extremely lucky, and the more and more I travel, the more lucky I feel. The more people go places, and the more places I go, the more conferences I go to, the more people I meet, and the more people I talk to, the more fortunate I feel working in Henrico County, you know, working for this fire department. So just, I mean, extremely, extremely lucky. But, you know, Stafford just wasn't it for me. And that was one of the reasons. It just wasn't the dream. It wasn't the goal. There's nothing wrong with that place. Like I said, that's where my dad retired from. You know, they do a great job. They have lots of good folks. They're a premier fire department in Northern Virginia now, in my opinion. And, you know, you'd be lucky if you got hired out of Stafford County right now. But it just wasn't for me. It wasn't for me. But I'll be honest, even at first, going through recruit school, like about a week into recruit school, I was like, man, I could go back to Stafford. I was an acting officer. I was a release DPO, an aerial operator. Like, I was getting ready to start paramedic class. Like, I could go back because, like, all this running and jogging and getting yelled at, that's for the birds. Thankfully, I didn't make that mistake. But I say all that, and I say my story because I know there's lots of people out there, and I see it on Facebook, and I see it in my own department. They're contemplating, they're wondering, should I stay or should I go? Should I stay or should I go? Should I make the jump or should I stay here? And I think that answer is different for different people. I think you have to look at your career and figure out what you're trying to get out of it. I think you have to look at your career and figure, I knew that even today, even though Stafford's fine, there's nothing wrong with Stafford, I knew it wasn't for me. It wasn't going to offer me what I wanted to get out of my career. I wanted to go work where I work now. It was the dream. I wanted to work with those people. I wanted to show them that the investment in me was worth it. I wanted to show them that, like, I was as good as them because I worked. I'd like, see, yep, I got hired here too, you know? I wanted to show everyone around that, like, I wanted to show the people that told me it would never happen that not only did it happen, I worked for what I thought was the best. I'll never forget, as a young kid, you know, 15, 16 years old, I got told by, you know, and again, no disrespect to this person, but I got told that he knew people that had been trying to get hired in the fire department, that specific fire department, Henrico, that had never, like, gotten hired. They'd been trying for 10 years. And it was a waste of my time, and I should do something else. So I wanted to show those people. And again, I didn't rub it in his face then, and I'm not rubbing it in his face now, but it was something in me that I wanted to show that. Not only did I do it, I did it for the place that I thought was the best. The place that I thought was the absolute best and the pinnacle and where I wanted to work. So I get it. And I've talked about this a couple times before too. There have been times in my career where I didn't think it was the best. And I looked at other departments. I've told this story on the podcast before. Like I was almost out the door. I didn't feel that I was getting the opportunities that I was deserved. I didn't feel that there was an opportunity for me to move up in the organization. I didn't feel that I was, like, I started kind of second guessing myself. And sometimes I still do, because I know, and we'll talk about that again in a minute. We'll expand on that in a few minutes. I know that, and it's funny, we had this conversation the other day when I was talking to a couple other guys that are assigned to administration with me, that our policies don't always meet my philosophies, right? And so I do my very best to stay true to me, but also follow the policies of the organization. And I have felt like that. Like, I felt like my values sometimes didn't line up with the fire department that I worked for. And sometimes that takes a change in leadership, right? Like, sometimes that takes a change in your view and perspective. Sometimes that takes a change just in your mindset, right? Like, you know, you just decide that I'm going to make it work, or, you know, you change stations, or, you know, you go talk to some mentors, or, you know, and again, like I said, sometimes it's a change in leadership. Sometimes the fire chief's got to go, right? Sometimes the fire chief's got to go, or the battalion chief, or the deputy chief, or, you know, a member of a political board or something. Sometimes that change has to happen in order for the values to kick back into the culture. And because there have been times where I felt like that. I applied for a small fire department outside of Charleston, South Carolina, and they hired me. And had my mother-in-law not passed away, I'd be living in Charleston right now. And I don't know what that would look like, you know. So everything happens for a reason. Everything happens for a reason, and I'm extremely lucky to still be here, working where I work. But yeah, I mean, it was, I've had those things, and I've had that. And so I say all those things, and I tell this long story, and I tell this rambling diatribe, because I understand some of you that are looking to see to change jobs, or looking to change fire departments. And so what I want you to do, I want you to sit down, and I want you to think about some things in your career. I want you to think about what you're trying to accomplish. I want you to write it down. And it doesn't. And I don't necessarily mean, you know, be chief of department or be a battalion chief or be a captain. Those are certainly all things, and if they're important to you, write them down. But like, I'm talking about like other things, right? Like, sit down and write down those things, like culture, values. Does the fire department you work for have the same values you do? Do they value the same thing? And I'm not talking about a statement, right? Like something on a board. I mean the real stuff, the tangible stuff. You know, things that are super important. And a prime example, the clean cab concept, right? The clean cab concept. I thought for sure we were going to go in that direction. And that would be a huge, huge infringement on what I believe as far as the fire service goes. Like, I just don't believe in it. And not that I don't believe in, like, you know, cancer prevention or anything like that, but I don't believe that we should have air packs outside of the cab. I don't believe that we shouldn't have our gear. Like, we should have our gear in the cab. We should be geared up. We should be coming off fire trucks ready to work and save people. And the clean cab concept ain't that. And I thought for sure that we may go that route. And thankfully, we did not even get anywhere close to it. We didn't get anywhere close to it or anything like that. But the but had we done that, had we did, like, I don't know if I could stay and work for a place like that. I would have to go do something else. And I had that conversation with my wife. I was like, if we do clean cabs, I'm going to tell you right now, like, I'm not going to do anything rash and quit right away, but I'm going to start looking for another job. And this was said, I was a lieutenant, I think, at the time. And I would go back to being a firefighter somewhere else that doesn't have clean cabs. You know, again, not going to, but like, I would be looking for something else. And so I understand that. So is the values that you have, do they line up with your fire department? And maybe you can make some concessions, right? Maybe you can make some concessions. Maybe you can make some, you know, like they don't line up 100%, or maybe you can't. And I think those are the things that are the hardest for me anyway. Like, every time I've looked at getting another job, it's because the values that I hold don't line up with the fire department that I work for. And it's been few and far between, but it's been a couple times. I don't mind saying this. And if we had not had a leadership change in the past year, I don't know where I'd be working. I'll be quite honest with you. I was in the last like year and a half, 18 months before my promotion and before the fire chief changed, I was looking at other promotional opportunities outside the department I work for. I was burning up the LinkedIn oil looking for battalion chief, captain, deputy chief jobs in other fire departments because I didn't feel that what I valued was the same as what the fire department valued. And I certainly didn't agree with the direction that we were going. I feel like we're in a much better place now, and we're moving in the right direction. And we're looking at the things, we're looking at things we should be looking at, and we're trying to make strides in places that are good for the workforce and the people that we serve. But at 18 months ago, 2 years ago, I didn't feel that way. And I was looking to pop smoke. I really was. I was looking to pop smoke. I was looking to for an exit strategy. And but thankfully I didn't, and it's worked out. Everything happens for a reason. But so I understand the values piece of it, and if the fire department you work for doesn't value what you value, then it probably is time to pop smoke. It probably is time to start doing that, to start looking around. It's probably time to really look at why you're here. And what your other options are. The other thing is, too, like I said, look at what you're trying to accomplish in your career. Is if you're trying to be the fire chief, I can tell you that it's hard in a place where there's 600, 700, 800, 1,000 people. It's not impossible, but it's hard, right? It's extremely hard. They have a large pool to, and a lot of times these bigger departments, they're looking for fire chiefs from outside, too. So if you're trying to be the fire chief of your fire department, it's very hard. And there can be only one. You can be a battalion. There's lots of battalion chiefs, deputy chiefs, assistant chiefs, whatever. But there's only one fire chief. And it's an extremely, extremely hard thing to get. So it may be something that, like, maybe you love where you work, but you need to move on so that you get that opportunity that you're looking for. And I know a lot of people that have done that. I know a lot of people that have moved a couple different departments to get that opportunity that you're looking for. And I don't necessarily think it's a bad thing, especially if that's what you're looking for and you're looking to be that fire chief or to be that chief officer, and that opportunity just doesn't exist for you. That was one of the things, one of the times where I was looking at other departments, is we hadn't done a promotional process in 5 years. And I felt like I was ready to be a lieutenant. When I took the promotional test at like year 4.5, like the earliest you could do it, or like right at year 5, I took it because I got kind of like, hey man, come on, we're all taking the lieutenant test. Okay, I wasn't ready, but 5 years later, 4 years later, 3 years later, I really did feel like I was ready. I felt like I was ready, or I felt like I was ready to at least, get in the test. But we didn't have a test. We didn't have tests for in forever. And it was like, man, like, I know other people in their other departments are taking promotional exams, and we're not even having one. We're not even going to have a promotional exam this year or next year. It's like, God, like, what the heck? You know, so and I felt stagnant, and I felt like I couldn't grow, and I felt like all of those things. And so I started looking at other places that were hiring officers from outside. And thankfully, it just, you know, I didn't take that job, and like a year and a half, I got to take the lieutenant's test, and like a year and a half after that, year and a half or 2 years, I got promoted to lieutenant. And then it was kind of off to the races, right? Like I said, there's been ups and downs, of course, like through anything else, but it's been off to the races since then. And so I really think that if you're, and it doesn't necessarily have to be the fire chief, right? Like a lot of people come to our fire department because we have such a robust special operations program. We've got a drone team. We've got a TRT team that is massive. We've got a hazmat team. We've got a marine team. We've got a dive team. We've got all of these things that, you know, some people want to come and they want to be divers for the fire department. And if that fire, their fire department doesn't have that, like, it makes no sense to stay there. It makes sense to come to us and to be a part of that team and to fight to get to that team. You know, that's the reality of it. You know, we've got rescue companies now. Like, there's some people that, like, their goal is to be a rescue company firefighter. Well, if your fire department doesn't have that, it's going to be awful hard to accomplish that goal. So I get that. You know, I get those things, right? Like, I get that. Up in, you know, we just ordered a tiller, but up until now, the only fire department that had a tiller in the area was the city of Richmond next door. And so if you want to be a tillerman or you want to ride on a tiller, there was really only one option for you. So I get those things. And so I think you really have to sit down and think about your career and at least have a generalized idea of some things that you want to accomplish. And if you're not in the right place for that, then, you know, it may be time to start thinking about moving on. Another factor is, are you working in the air in an area that you really want to work in? And some people, their dream is to be a urban fireman, work in a city, not a county, not a township. You know, they want to work in a city. Right. And that was always my brother. Right. Like he wanted to and he still says that all the time. Like he's like, well, I work in the city, you know, I work in the city. And he even calls like other places in Richmond that are like also cities. But like he works in Richmond, you know, so other places in Virginia, like there's a friend of ours works in the city of Roanoke, also the RFD. And he says, yeah, you know, over in the city. And my brother always messes with him and said, no, I work in the city. There's only one city, like the city, the capital city of Virginia. And I work there. You work for Roanoke. Right, like that's what, and they always talk about people who work in Alexandria. It's like, nope, like I work, like you work in Alexandria, I work in the city. And he always wanted to be an urban fireman. He wanted to work in a city. In fact, like that's why, like he has stayed on the north side of the city his entire career because that's what he considers truly the city. It's downtown companies, it's high rises, it's you know, and all of those things. Like the south side of the city is a lot of residential. And, like, he works in the north side of the city, and that's what he wanted to do. He wanted to be on a tech rescue team. He wanted to be on a rescue company. He went to the fire department that had those things because at the time, no one else really had that. Whereas me, I always really wanted to work in an area that, like, I liked working in an area where I was familiar with and that I was, you know, that had some connection to me. We grew up in and around Hanover and Henrico. In fact, like, you know, I tell people this all the time. They ask me why I didn't work for Hanover since I started volunteering there. Like, well, I tried. They just didn't want me, right? Like, they didn't want me to work there. Like, I tried. I tried a couple times. I even tried to work there part-time, and they didn't want me. So I went next door to another place. Again, grew up in and around that area of, you know, the east end of Henrico as well as the east end of Hanover. And so always been super familiar. In fact, the firehouse that I started working at when I first got hired in Henrico was right across the street from where my dad spent 24 years working as an industrial fireman. So always grew up in that area, knew Laburnum Avenue and all of those things. So that's where I wanted to work. I like working in that kind of environment. In fact, I like working in a spot where I can do multiple things. That was the one thing I did love about Stafford is that like I felt like I was a utility player because they needed me to play so many different roles, and that was exciting to me. And it's funny, we have this conversation all the time about some of these more urban departments where they're so regimented, like in FDNY, like, you know, like you're the barman, like that's what you are. You're the barman for this whole tour, and like probably like for a million tours in a row, you're the barman or the hook man or the whatever, and like that's all you do. That's all you do. That's all you do. Where in my department, like you drive, you ride backwards on the truck, you do all of these different things. Like you fill different roles. That like one day, you know, you can be driving the, you know, you can be driving the engine, and the next day you're riding in charge of the engine. And the next day you're riding backwards. Then one day you're on the ambulance. I mean, that's not super exciting, but you get what I'm saying. Is like there's a lot of different roles to play. One day you could be working in an area that's pretty urbanized, right? Like it's got, you know, like more urban area. Like it's got window bars and all this kind of stuff and roll down gates and then the next day you could be at a rural company. Like you could be driving a tanker to a first due house fire, and it's you and another engine waiting for them to set up a water supply system and waiting for them to draft and all of those things. And that was just super exciting to me. And I wanted to work in an area where like I could utilize all my skills, where I could utilize everything that I'd been taught in all aspects of firefighting. You know, and again, not saying that some of those other places don't do that, but like to me, like after two or three shifts of being the barman, I think I might get a little bored. Like I want to go do something. Can I be the hook man today? No, you're the barman. Crap. You know, like, can I be the nozzle man? I mean, being on the nozzle is pretty sweet, but like, is there other stuff that we can do? And so I really, you know, that's kind of like, what are you trying to get out of your career? Does your department match your values? And then the culture piece. Is it a culture of firefighting? Is firefighting first? Or is firefighting an afterthought? And as EMS grows and grows and grows and grows and grows, like, you have to think about some of those things. Like, is your department, like, you know, again, I don't think you should shy away from the ambulance. There's a lot of people that leave great fire departments just because they don't want to ride the ambulance. And I think that that's such a, you know, it's a large part about what we do, but it's such a small piece of the big pie, right? It's such a small piece of the big pie. It's such a small piece of the job. It's not my favorite thing to do either. And I don't do it much anymore, but it was never enough to make me want to leave the fire department. And I also accepted it, right? Like, I think that's something else that you got to do too. You got to research the place that you're going to work. It is not a surprise to anybody that we have ambulances in the fire department I work for. It shouldn't be a surprise to anybody that's out there that most of these places have ambulances. There's very few that don't. It shouldn't be a surprise to you. It really shouldn't. If you don't know that your fire department that you're applying for has ambulances, you need to go back and start from square one. You need to go back and start from square one. And so I hope in this, me telling this long diatribe and long story and everything, that you can really sit down and think about what you're trying to get out of your career and if you should stay or if you should go. And really what you're trying to get out of, you know, is it worth leaving your current department for your next one? Or do you need to stay where you're at? People always say the grass is greener. The grass is greener over there on that other side of the fence. Well, maybe you need to stay where you're at, water your own grass. If everybody who had gotten pissed off left, we wouldn't have half our department. And we wouldn't be in the place we are today. We wouldn't be in the place where we're getting, you know, we have some of the best equipment and some of the best fire stations and some of the best things out there. Now, are we perfect? Hell no. And anybody who tells you we are, I don't, like, you know, like, there's a lot of this shtick out there. People are like, I work for the best fire department. My fire department's the best fire department in the world and blah, blah, blah. It's rhetoric, man. It's hyperbole. I'm going to tell you right now, I don't work for the best fire department in the world, but I think we're pretty damn good and I feel pretty lucky to be here. And I would put my people, the people that I work with and the guys and gals that I know, I'd put them up against anybody and they would do a damn good job. I'm here to tell you that. I think we have some of the finest officers, like company officers, and we have bad ones, but every place has bad ones. Every place has bad firefighters. Every place has bad employees. But I think overall we have probably some of the best chief officers, line officers, firefighters anywhere in the country. Are we perfect? Nope, not at all. Anybody that tells you their fire department is perfect, they're lying to you. They're trying to sell you something. But man, we've had a lot of people stick it out, go through some disciplinary action, go through getting in trouble, go through doing stuff just to make our place a lot better. And that's a powerful, powerful thing. And if nobody ever stayed, the grass wouldn't be near as green as it is. So, I get it. I think there are times when it's time to leave, but I think there's sometimes where it's time to buckle down. And sometimes, man, and I had to do this, sometimes you're going to have people that just, you know, they're in your way. They're never going to like you, and they're going to try and stop you from achieving what you want. I lived through that. But the thing you have to do sometimes is you have to outlive them, especially if you're a younger firefighter. Like, if you've got some older firefighter or older officer or older chief that just doesn't like you, and I had a couple, right? Because, again, and I'm not going to lie to you and tell you that it was their fault either. It was certainly, I won't even say 50-50. It was probably 60-40 or 70-30 my fault, right? Because, again, we have to grow and we have to learn, and I was immature, and sometimes I'm still immature. Like, just catch me wearing my pit vipers, right? But, sometimes I'm a little immature still, but, you know, this guy saw a guy who was getting after it, but he was immature, and they decided they didn't like me, and they were going to do everything they could to make my life a little bit bad. And I had to wait for them to leave. And it took several of them, fire chief, a division chief, and two battalion chiefs, to leave before I made any progress with my reputation or the promotional processes. Like, that's just how it was. And once they were gone, it was off to the races. So, I'm glad I stayed. I'm glad I left Stafford County. I'm glad. They're a great fire department now. But I'm glad I left. It wasn't what I was looking for, especially at the time, and it really isn't what I was looking for now. They were hiring battalion chiefs and captains from the outside just a year ago. And I had the opportunity. I could have gone back. I could have applied and gone back. I didn't. Because I didn't want to. Because I wanted to stay where I'm at now. I'm glad I have never left where I'm at now. I don't have any intentions of leaving where I am now. I'm glad that I'm watering this grass. And we're not perfect, but we're making strides every day. And so I think you got to ask yourself that too. Then you got to ask yourself, what strides is your current department making to be better? Are they making any? Are you the catalyst? Are you the catalyst to make it better? A few years ago, nobody had ever heard of the fire department that Kyle Romagus works for. But now, they get the right leadership. They get Howard and Kyle in there leading the charge. And now people want to go work there. People leave other states and want to go work there. A few years ago, like, I heard of Escambia County, Florida, because my grandparents grew up there. I knew where my grandparents lived there, rather. My mom at one point had lived there. And, like, my grandparents, they grew up there, and they lived there, and we would go there on vacation. So I knew where Pensacola Beach and Escambia County, Florida was. No one else did until Kurt Isaacson started doing his thing and talking about how great it was down there and how many fires they go to and all of these things. And he had to help grow it. He came there to help grow it. And now people leave their department and move to Pensacola, Florida to work for the Pensacola Fire Department or Escambia County Fire Rescue or Midway. Like, that's crazy, right? It could be you. It could be you. You could be that catalyst. So sit down and think about all that. Sit down and think about how great it would be or how great it could be. And do all those other things match up and line up? I hope you got something out of my stories and a little bit of my rambling. But it's running rampant out there in the fire service. And so I really think everyone should sit down and think about why they're working where they work is it the right place for them? Does it match your values? Does it match your culture or the culture you want to be a part of? Does it match what your goals are for your career? Because if your goals are just to fight a ton of fire and ride backwards, then man, maybe you're in the right place, right? Maybe you're in the right place. One thing I will leave you with, notice I didn't bring money into any of this. I'm not saying we don't need to fight for better pay. We should. We should always be trying to fight for the best wage possible for our workforce. All of those things. But I don't really factor money into a lot of things. Money is the most addictive drug out there. You can never have enough. There's never enough to go around. There's never, you know, like even billionaires. Billionaires are always trying to get more money. It's the most addictive drug there is. So I think that we should be firemen and looking for fire departments, not necessarily about the money. Now, I'm not saying you don't have to make a living. I'm not saying, you know, you need to be comfortable. Like I said, I couldn't go make $30,000 a year again because I have two kids and I'm trying to send to college, right? Like, I couldn't take that kind of a pay cut. But I could make things, I could tighten my belt to go work for a place that paid a little less to fit my culture, to fit my values, and to fit my goals. So I don't think money should be even close to the top 10 factors. But like I said, I hope that this, you know, resonated with you a little bit. I know it was a little bit rambly, and I get off on tangents sometimes, but sometimes I think those are the best podcasts, right? Where it's just a free flow of information and thought. I hope it helps. I hope you got something out of it. And, you know, I couldn't do what I do and be lucky to work where I work without the help of some great, great people. The first being Vanguard Safety Wear. Vanguard Safety Wear, the makers of the MK1 Fire Glove, the Squad 1 Fire Glove, the MK1 Ultra. All those things are made for work. I just actually got to try on a pair of the Squad 1s. I'd never had any before. I got to try on a pair of the Squad 1s the other day. Holy smokes, have I been missing out, man. You know, my brother called me and asked me what I thought about the Squad 1s, and I told him, I was like, they are the best extrication gloves, the most comfortable extrication gloves I've ever put on in my life. So go to VanguardSafetyWear.com or DingusFire.com and get you anything that Vanguard Safety Wear is selling, because it is the tip-top on the market. Vanguard Safety Wear, made for work. The next being Taylor's 10s. I haven't gotten to go to many fires lately since I've been a battalion chief and they put me in the office, but you can guarantee on my helmet there is a metal Taylor's 10 battalion chief helmet front. They make helmet fronts, locker tags, gear tags, anything you can think of, they make. They make cups, all of these things. So go to taylorstens.com. That's taylorstens.com, and it's not going to be just like a drop-down menu, anything like that. You're going to interact with a real person, and you're going to get some concept art, and you're going to explain to them what you're looking for, how you want it, all of those things, and Taylor's going to make it for you. So again, go to taylorstens.com, stop burning up leather, start wearing Taylor's 10s. The next, tacticalworksheet.com, IDLH Technology, makers of, in my opinion, the greatest command boards on the market. I have one in my staff chief's car that I carry with me all the time just in case I run an incident on my way to work or when I'm riding around going to different firehouses and things like that, because it is the absolute, I pair it with the steering wheel desk, and it is absolutely perfect, a perfect setup for what I have in that staff car, because it doesn't have a box and a slide-out tray with a command board and all that kind of stuff. All I've got is my little command setup, and it is absolutely perfect. It's a perfect setup for especially for my staff car. And it was perfect when I was assigned to the battalion car as well. So go to IDLH Technology or tacticalworksheet.com and get you some of the best command boards on the market. And lastly, Fireground Commander Conference coming back again. Henrico Theater, Henrico County, Virginia. Go to embracetheresistance.com. That's embracetheresistance.com. Click on the conference tab and you can join us right now. $175 for 8 speakers, 3 days of speakers, 3 days, lunch included all 3 days, snacks and drinks included all 3 days. Beautiful venue, Henrico County, Virginia, Henrico Theater, EmbraceTheResistance.com, Fireground Commander Conference. get registered today. And lastly, you know what we do. Make sure you're spending 1 hour each day in the library reading something about our job, reading an article, reading a book, reading a passage, watching a YouTube video, watching a fire video, something that'll keep you more, that'll get you more educated about the job we do. Make sure you're spending 1 hour in the gym, staying in shape, being healthy, and ready for the job you swore to do. And make sure you're spending 1 hour every day putting your hands on the tools and equipment that we need to do our job. You do that, you become a pretty phenomenal firefighter, I guarantee it. Thanks for listening. Stay safe. Stay aggressive.